coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And it's Monday, July 10th, 2023. It's Monday. Eric the Tech, how you doing? It's Monday. How was your weekend?
Pretty good, you?
Yeah, not bad. Worked all weekend, as I know you did as well. So we, a lot of things taking place. Folks, if you haven't done so, please go to HagmanPI.com and look at watch the extended video with Afia from Friday. Okay, you've got to watch that, especially with the video, the documentary about the Song of Freedom in the theaters. Please watch that video. Okay, that's an exclusive special report. It's she is a victim. Her children are victims of this. Watch the video. Predators, child and human sex trafficking, the my goodness, what's going on in the court system, how the court system is weighted against the victim in certain areas, especially with certain Hollywood connections. Please watch that. All right. One thing that I have been watching and looking at is the election of 2024. With me is a very special guest. He was on quite a while ago talking about a film that he had done, and that was the Trayvon hoax, unmasking witness fraud that divided America. And that was some time ago. His name is Joel Gilbert. He's a Hollywood film director. He's the president of Highway 61 Entertainment. And again, as I said, among his many films are political documentaries, including the Trayvon hoax, unmasking the witness fraud that divided America, Trump, the art of the insult. There's No Place Like Utopia, Dreams from My Real Father, one of my favorites, Atomic Jihad, and Farewell Israel, Bush, Iran, and the Revolt of Islam. Now he's got a new film, a new documentary. I saw this. In fact, Randy Taylor and myself, we sat down, we watched this from beginning to end. And that, of course, is Michelle Obama 2024, her real life story and plan for power. Folks, I want you to take a look at this, okay? I've got the book, and I love this book because as an investigator, okay, I thought I was a really thorough and good investigator. I am. I know I am. But so is Joel Gilbert. When I read this book, and I did, you can see I've got highlights just about everywhere. I couldn't believe how thorough this was. The real Michelle Obama. Now, by the title, Michelle Obama 2024, Mr. Gilbert believes Michelle Obama will run in 2024. Period. We're going to be talking about that and the real Michelle Obama, who she is, and all of the legend, the fictitious setup of Michelle Obama. Joel, welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Okay, thanks for having me. Great to be here today.
I'll tell you what. Again, off air, I told you that I would, seriously, walking through this book, going through this book, you really, really uncovered the true Michelle Obama, and I appreciate that. I would hand you my license, my ID card, my badge, because I believe you acted like an investigator in researching Michelle Obama. So who is she, and why do you believe she's running for president in 2024, especially with the way things are right now politically? I mean, and of course, she said she didn't want to. She's not a politician. She doesn't like politics, but then you blow that away. But go ahead.
Right. Well, you got like three or four questions there, but we'll walk through them. Yeah. First of all, I've been following the Obamas for years. I'm pretty well known for my 2012 film on Barack Obama called Dreams from My Real Father, where I exposed what I think is Barack Obama's real biological father was not the Kenyan student, but rather Frank Marshall Davis, the Chicago communist who raised him in Hawaii, who Obama admits raised him and he emulated and tried to follow his teachings. Frank Marshall Davis happens to look just like Obama, and Obama looks nothing like the Kenyan student. So I'm pretty well known for that. And I followed the Obamas for years. And I noticed that beginning in 2016, Michelle Obama was following the exact same formula that Barack had to become president. Barack Obama was the keynote speaker for John Kerry at the Democrat convention in 2004. The keynote speaker slot is the person who introduces the candidate and that they think will be the nominee at the next convention. Sure enough, Michelle was the keynote speaker that introduced Joe Biden in 2020 at the Democrat virtual convention. Barack wrote two autobiographies, Dreams from My Father and The Audacity of Hope, before he ran for president. Sure enough, Michelle wrote two autobiographies, Becoming, which is her life story, which is really a political document. When you read it, it's not a real life story. And it's also a movie on Netflix. And then she wrote The Light We Carry late last year, which is now also on Netflix as an interview special with Oprah. And lastly, Barack had a voter registration organization called Project Vote in Chicago that he used to set off his candidacy. Michelle Obama started a voter registration organization called When We All Vote. So she's following the same formula. If you look at her Twitter, she's all political all the time. Just last week, she released an official statement on the Supreme Court ruling about affirmative action. And she's positioned herself by working on the constituent groups of women and minorities for years. So I think she's perfectly positioned herself. She's the most popular woman in America, if not the whole world. She's had 15 years of all positive publicity, hundreds of magazine covers, hundreds of interviews, and she's literally the most beloved Democrat. So I think she set herself up perfectly. I do believe that Joe Biden released that 3-minute video back in April that he's running just as a reaction to the RFK announcement. And Biden hasn't done any campaigning. There's no campaign headquarters. I do expect that by November, he'll be dropping out for any number of reasons. Could be health, could be impeachment, bribery. And of course, the party will turn to Michelle Obama because she's the only one that can really run on short notice. As far as who she really is, that's what my book and film, Michelle Obama 2024, really go into. I spent a lot of time investigating. I talked to three of her boyfriends, you know, when she grew up, high school teachers, elementary school principal, classmates from elementary and high school, from college. And I got a real picture of her real life story, which is very different than what she claims. Just like Barack Obama, her background is just as fictitious. Michelle likes to make up stories of suffering racial discrimination and being held back in life because of her skin color. She claims she's from the South Side of Chicago. None of that is true. Michelle's from South Shore, which is a middle-class community on Lake Michigan. She went to exclusive gifted schools growing up, and she had a terrible relationship with the Black community growing up. They called her, they said that she acted white and talked white, and she would get beat up. She talks about in her book of getting in a fist fight with a girl who called her an Oreo, which is a major insult. It means you're Black on the outside, but really you're a white girl on the inside. Michelle grew up worshiping Mary Tyler Moore. She watched the Brady Bunch all day. When she was supposed to go to the all-Black South Shore High School, one block from her house, very good school, actually. The only problem, it was all-Black. So her parents sent her an hour and a half away to a magnet school. They sent her brother Craig to a Catholic school, even though they weren't Catholic, a very expensive private school to study with all-white kids. So even Barack, when he said when he first met Michelle, it was like the Leave It to Beaver family, and that she reminded him of his white grandmother from Kansas. So Michelle had a terrible relationship with Black kids and Black people growing up. She always ran away from them. And then I talk about professionally, I investigated her professional career in Chicago, and Michelle's jobs all were about abusing and exploiting the Black community. She worked for the mayor of Chicago. She was the assistant planning commissioner under Valerie Jarrett, and her job was to kick about 20,000 Black people out of their homes at Cabrini Green. This was a project near downtown, and the Democrat donor developers like Tony Rezko wanted the land. So She kicked them out. She knocked down their homes and gave away the land. And Michelle told these poor black people, this will be good for you if we knock down your homes. And having proven her callousness, she was hired by the University of Chicago Medical Center to kick black people out of their emergency room. They had a lot of Southside Chicago residents were showing up and didn't have insurance, so they were losing money. So they couldn't hire a white person to deny access to the black community. So Michelle made $300,000 a year, a lot of money now and a lot of money back then, to start something called the Southside Health Collaborative. So if you were black and showed up at the emergency room, Michelle would put you in a van and actually dump you at these crappy neighborhood clinics on the South Side. And again, Michelle told them, this is better for you. And that's what role Michelle played, exploiting the black community for a lot of money. And in her political career, she makes up these phony stories about, I'm just one of these ordinary black folks that suffered discrimination growing up, and I'm from the South Side. It's completely not true. One of her biggest lies I exposed is she's been claiming for 15 years this story about her high school counselor racially profiling her about applying to Princeton University. She even told Gayle King recently, my counselor told me, you're black, maybe you're stretching applying to Princeton. And I found out her high school counselor was a black woman named Nan King, a church-going woman, also an assistant principal. There's no way she racially profiled her, the black lady. So Michelle got away with that simply because she had passed away in 2005. So this book and film, I go through Michelle's real life history. You'll find out so many shocking things. By the way, you can live stream the movie or get the DVD on salemnow.com. And then the book and DVD are on amazon.com.
Perfect. Okay. We're going to have those links up at HagmanPI.com under this episode or for this episode. All you do is click on the title, open it up, and the links will be right there. Give me the links for the live streaming again, please.
Salem Now. SalemNow.com. You can live stream the movie or buy the DVD.
Okay. Yeah, I recommend, honestly, I recommend both. And you do, I believe you have a package deal, book and DVD, or you could buy both?
Yeah, you can buy them separately or buy them both.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I recommend both because although the information obviously is the same and overlaps, it's one thing to see you out working in the field, and it's another thing to read about it. Although you get into greater detail in the book, your methods and your reactions, your tenacity, and I'll tell you, your guts are evident in the film, and I really appreciate that. I mean, you know, I'd think twice. Some of the places you went to investigate Michelle Obama, I'd think twice about going, especially, you know, without a contingent of bodyguards. My goodness. But,
well, yeah, I mean, I went to Chicago. I run around Chicago for days. I went to the you know, the Parkway Gardens where Michelle was born. It, when she lived there, it was actually a very nice middle class home. But now it's kind of a drug den and murder capital. But I also went and knocked on the door and met with Michelle's mother. She's in the movie, and went to all these crappy clinics on the South Side of Chicago where Michelle shipped off the black residents, and so many places throughout Chicago. You get to see a lot of Chicago that you never would have seen. So the movie's a lot of fun, and I enjoyed the entire investigation.
The book by Joel Gilbert, Michelle Obama 2024, and DVD and live streaming, Michelle Obama 2024. In fact, you can get the link to the live streaming, and of course the Amazon link, as well as all other links. In fact, all other links, not just to this, but also to all of his videos. If you go to HagmanPI.com and expand on the title on this. You know, I thought I knew Michelle Obama. I really did. And until I read this book. You went back. I mean, you actually purchased copies of yearbooks. You went back to the source like we do, like investigators do. You go right back to the people that knew, whatever, the individual. You've got photographs in here I've never seen. You've got it's incredible. Let me do this if I can. Let's clear up a few things because you know, I'm going to take a lot of heat for this because I really believe, Joel, that Michelle Obama was, she was a transvestite. Now, you address this.
Yeah.
So we're not talking out of school here. And I thought, you know what? I'm buying this until proven otherwise. I'm buying this. And then when you did your research, your investigation, wow. Okay. I have to say, you know what? You're right. That's just.
Yeah. I get this a lot. We see it on Twitter. And when I read articles in American Thinker, people make comments, you know, Michelle is a he, and you know, she was a linebacker for the University of Colorado or something. It's all silliness and it's foolishness. It was based on TMZ asked Joan Rivers, the comedian, a question when she was getting out of a taxi and walking into a studio. They said, will America ever have a gay president? And she said, well, we have one, Barack Obama. You know, she's a comedian. She's trying to be funny. And then she said, Michelle is a tranny. She's transgender. She's obviously making crude jokes, which is her career. So because of Michelle's America bashing, I think a lot of people picked up on that and tried to make it a joke and doctored photos online. But it's completely not true. Michelle is female, always female. And those are just silly jokes. The way that Michelle is a phony is the fact that she really is an Oreo. She kind of is a white girl who happens to be black. She had no black friends growing up. She went to Princeton. She went to Harvard. She got a job at Sidley Austin Law Firm. She married a biracial man. She never had anything to do with black people or any experiences that normal, ordinary black people have. And that's her phoniness that she tries to promote. Now, one of the bigger revelations you'll find out in the film is that her best friend for years in Chicago was Bernadine Dorn.
That blew me away. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You know, why didn't I know that?
Look, it's not something they advertise. They tried very hard to squelch the fact that her husband, Bill Ayers, was big buddies with Barack Obama. But Michelle worked for 2 years at the Sidley Austin Law Firm with Bernadine Dorn, the head of the domestic terrorist group, who was an America basher. And I chronicle how Barack and Michelle would go to their house for dinners for years in the 90s. So this couple of domestic terrorists had a tremendous influence on Barack and Michelle Obama, so much so that you remember from 2008 on the campaign trail, Michelle's speeches mimicked a Bernadine Dorn speech from the late 60s about how awful America is. She gets all that from Bernadine Dorn, including the politics of fear, word for word. Michelle talks about how we're all afraid of each other and all the policies, foreign policy and domestic policy comes from this fear. She's always talking about fear, straight out of the mouth of Bernadine Dorn. So that was a tremendous radicalization, I think, of Michelle Obama at the hands of this domestic terrorist that people aren't aware of. But if you look at the speeches, Michelle mimics Bernadine Dorn.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I was surprised. Look, I knew they knew each other. I knew that there was this, or what I thought was a casual relationship, but I didn't know that they were as close as they were. And which you just said about about their relationship, it really took me by surprise. And I said off air to you, you know, when we talked about the fable about the tranny. I said this last week on air. I said, look, Michelle Obama's a lot of things, but she's not that. She's not a tranny. So forget about that. She's a lot of things. And you, again, you uncover everything about Michelle Obama in this book. You left me thinking that if Michelle Obama got elected in 2024 or any year, but 2024, boy, I'll tell you, we are in deep trouble. You think you're in trouble now. We're going to be in big trouble just because of her belief system and her experiences leaving her. I would call her bitter. I don't know about you, but or I don't know how you would typify that. Bitter with an agenda. That's kind of the way I got left on this with your writing. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, everything with Michelle is the perceptions are a little different from the reality. Michelle has struggled, like Barack Obama struggled in 2008, to prove to the black community that he was black. They were openly asking him on 60 Minutes, so many shows, they'd say, are you black enough? Because black people didn't consider Obama to be black. He grew up in a white family in Hawaii, in Indonesia. He never had any black friends. He never had any experiences that the black community had in America. His friends in college were Pakistanis. He didn't know any black people. He read about civil rights, but he didn't know anything about it, really. So Michelle, ironically, has the same problem, and she has a complex about that. I actually talked to her thesis advisor and professor at Princeton University, who helped her with her famous thesis called, you know, Princeton and the Black Community. And I analyzed it quite a bit with him, talked to him for hours. And it turns out her Princeton thesis was a cry for help. What happened is Michelle was used to getting good grades at her high school, and she got good grades by studying double time. She had to study double the homework, and she got good grades, but she did poorly on tests because you can't really study double for that. And she still got into Princeton, probably on affirmative action and the fact that her brother was a star basketball player there. So she talks about in her first semester at Princeton, she got C's and D's in mythology, these different classes, and that really hurt her ego. So she ran to the sociology department for a major because it's relatively easy. And to cop out even more, she got into Afro-American studies as her major, which is going to be relatively easy. You know, you go all the way to Princeton from a city with a million black people to study about being black. It was a real cop out to get good grades. So Michelle is in this African-American studies program for a couple years, and her professors are radical. They're radical. They're actually, her professor I spoke to looks white, actually, but he has some percentage of black in him, so he's a black professor, and they tend to be very radical. So her professors taught her that you're just a stereotype. You're a racial stereotype. No one's ever going to think anything else of you. You're black, and that's it. They preached militancy. And Michelle wasn't buying it because every time she was with whites, she grew up with whites, she went to school with whites, they accepted her. If she worked hard, she succeeded. So she was having a real identity crisis. And she wrote in her thesis, she said, after being at Princeton for 3 years, I have the same goals as my white classmates. I want to get a job in a corporation, make a good salary. And I'm wondering if the black alumni who graduated from Princeton feel the same way I do, or if they feel obligated to the black community, because she was never a part of the black community. So the survey came back and said, the black alumni said, no, we don't want anything to do with the black community. We want to use our Princeton degree to succeed in America, not be stuck as a stereotype. So that was a big relief for her doing that thesis. So she went on to Harvard and big law firm, worked, you know, as a front man for white liberals, as I said, in Chicago, exploiting the black community. So Michelle has the same conflict as black people. If they really knew the truth about her, they wouldn't consider her to be black and wouldn't consider her one of them. So Michelle she goes over the top. That's why she goes over the top, to try to prove her blackness, her black authenticity. You might remember the interview Barack did with 60 Minutes in 2008 with Steve Croft. Michelle said, well, Barack is a black man. He could get shot just going to the gas station. You know, she doesn't believe that. No one believes that. If you would get shot in Chicago as a black man, it might be because a black gang member shot you. Yeah. But it's very, very unlikely. But her implication was, as a black man, a white guy could just shoot you at any moment. So she says these things that are over the top to try to prove to the black community that she's one of them. That's why she also makes up these phony stories about being held back in life. That's why she lies and says, oh, I'm from the South Side of Chicago. She's not.
And boy, I don't mean to interrupt, but she's introduced by Oprah and everyone, you know, from the South Side of Chicago.
Yeah.
And look, you're right.
Jesse Jackson lives in South Shore also. He never said he was from the South Side. It's a beautiful area on Lake Michigan. But Michelle has to, you know, to try to connect with voters and get political support. She is manipulative and manipulates the black community. She did the same thing in Chicago. She knocked down their homes and said, this is good for you. She took away their health care and said, this is good for you. She's used to manipulating lower class and ordinary black folks. That's kind of what she does. I mean, in the film, I chronicle about how Michelle was a big fashionista growing up, always wore and could afford fancy clothes. She went to the Miracle Mile in Chicago. She got clothes from all the biggest designers like Ikram Goldman and Maria Pinto, which I visited. And she had a celebrity hairdresser who I interviewed named Michael Ronnie Flowers when she was 18. When she was at Harvard, her professor, Charles Ogletree, said she was always dressed incredibly.
Wait, she had a hairdresser when she was 18?
Celebrity hairdresser.
I guess, don't we all? Or don't all the girls that... Never mind.
It's different from a person like Michelle who says, I grew up poor from a poor family on the south side of Chicago. Michelle went to Paris when she was in high school with her French class, okay? So this is not a girl who grew up poor. So anyway, when Barack became senator, Michelle was voted to the Vanity Fair Top 25 International Best Dress List. This is how decked out she was in all the latest expensive fashion. But then I show in the film that when she shows up on the campaign trail for Barack in 2008, she doesn't show up as a fashionista and say, hey, I'm another Harvard lawyer like my elitist husband. She doesn't do that because, you know, she wants to be different. Bill and Hillary are two Yale lawyers. So she doesn't want to say, well, I'm another fancy Harvard lawyer. She shows up dressed like a homeless person. She doesn't comb her hair. She wears like a T-shirt or an old sweater and tries to pass herself off as some 1950s black housewife from the South, or at least what she imagined that they would look like. You can see it in the video. Michelle used her look and the fact that she didn't comb her hair to try to look simple, to manipulate minority voters to think, well, I'm just one of you. And of course, when she got into the White House, she went back to being a fashionista and hundreds of magazine covers and you name it. But that's what Michelle does. She creates these fake stories about being poor from the South Side, not having things being held back in life because she doesn't want people to know the truth, that she was an elite kid. Her father was a politician, was a precinct captain. She grew up in Jesse Jackson's house partially because she was best friends with his daughter Santita when Jesse was running for president. So she's been around politics her whole life, and she really is a political animal. Look at her Twitter account. She's all politics all the time. Michelle's actually a better politician than Barack. She's a better speaker. She comes across more authentic, but her background is just as phony.
Well, getting back to what you said earlier, moments ago, you were talking about Princeton and Michelle in Princeton. You wrote an article for American Thinker. That was published when? Saturday morning or Saturday?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think Friday. Last Wednesday.
How time flies. Michelle Obama's affirmative action adventure at Princeton. Folks, I would urge everyone to read this because it's a fascinating and in-depth report on her, on her adventures at Princeton. I'm not going to read it for you. You can do it on your own. But talking about some insight into her schooling and what happened there, I would highly urge everyone to go to American Thinker. The link will be in the program description box in this episode at HagmanPI.com. That was an incredible article. Is an incredible article.
Yeah, let me comment. Look, Michelle learned at Princeton that her blackness, being black, was just a tool to advance herself in the white liberal world. She used the Afro-American Studies program at sociology department to get good grades, so she'd go on to Harvard. Then she got jobs in Chicago exploiting black people because she was black. They couldn't hire a white person to do those jobs. So she saw that blackness was a dead end. It wasn't an end in itself. So she spent her childhood getting beat up by black kids and accused of acting white and being an Oreo. And she spent her professional career getting her revenge is exploiting those same ordinary black folks and taking away their health care and their homes. So she's created this phony stories in her two autobiographies and all these book tours about how she's just one of these ordinary black folks. But she also, Michelle, I go to the Mayfair Dance Academy. Since she was 7 years old, Michelle took jazz and tap and performed these dance routines at the Hilton International Hotel, at the Chicago Theater. She was a very elite kid, very well off, and lived in a nice middle-class area, but spent her childhood running away from black people that she was afraid of. I've even got her on tape in the movie. She says, I lived in fear because they thought she had an attitude and she was trying to act white.
You know, with all this talk today about white flight, I think you mentioned this. Forgive me if it's not by phrase, but certainly by implication. That's not a thing with Michelle Obama. I mean,
well, one of her lies that she tells in her book and in her interviews about the book, she claims falsely that since in the mid 70s that her white neighbors started moving out because they were afraid of black people. They were afraid of the texture of their hair, I'm quoting, the color of their skin, and they would move out, and how she was shocked from this. It's a complete and total lie. The South Shore area that Michelle lived in, and I spoke to the woman who sold her house to Michelle's aunt that Michelle moved into, a woman named Sybil Kane. And all the white people, a lot of them were Jewish, moved out by 1965. Because of violence in their neighborhood and crime. Sybil Kane said her son was assaulted. Another neighbor I talked to, he said their house got ransacked. So the white people moved out by 1965. When they did that, all the black middle class people came and snapped up their homes and bought these South Shore homes because it was such a good area and had good schools. Jesse Jackson even said at the time that the prices went up when the white people moved out because so many blacks wanted to move in there. So that was 1965. I've got the yearbook photos showing that South Shore High School, one block away, was all black by 1967. Completely black middle-class area, very nice area. Now, Michelle didn't move into that area till 1971 as a six-year-old, and then she claims now in the mid-70s when it was all black that white people started moving out. She says that to try to place herself as a victim of white discrimination. The only people doing white flight in the 70s was Michelle Robinson and her brother, Craig Robinson. As I said, they sent her brother out of the black community to go to a white Catholic school. They sent Michelle an hour and a half away to Whitney Young Magnet School instead of walking a block to a very nice South Shore high school with all black kids. The white flight in the 70s was only Michelle and her brother.
You know, in here, you were talking about sending Michelle, her brother, different schools. Back then, and I'm not even sure now, that's against the law. That's a Class C misdemeanor in Illinois, I believe. Am I wrong?
Well, no. Craig went to a very expensive private school, so that was right. Okay. Now, Michelle went to a magnet school out of her area, but they were, because it was a new magnet school, they were accepting kids from different areas. Now, what Michelle did illegally is she lived at Parkway Gardens in the mid-60s, which in the late-60s, which was an apartment complex on the south side, which was a very nice community. The only problem was there was a brand new elementary school one block from her house called Dulles Elementary School, beautiful brand new building. And Craig went to elementary school there for 1 year as kindergarten. The problem was that the people. The kids were there from the projects, Washington Homes project. So they had a lot of very lower class student body there. So Michelle's mother illegally enrolled Michelle at Bryn Mawr Elementary in South Shore and her brother Craig for about 2 years and then moved into that area in 1971. So that was illegal. That was a Class C misdemeanor. But if you look at Michelle's story of, you know, going out of her neighborhood to get good education, going to Princeton, going to Harvard. Mm-hmm. It really is an American success story. You normally be very proud of that and say, it was great. And, you know, I made these big efforts and went to a different school and I got a job. It's an typical American success story that we should admire. Michelle hides this because it doesn't fit her fake narrative that she wants the black community to believe to get their vote so she can have power. In her book, Becoming, for example, her first autobiography, she does talk about Princeton in great detail, and then she says, I went to law school and then moved back to Chicago and got a job. She doesn't say I went to Harvard Law, you know, because she doesn't want you to know her elite status and all the opportunities that she achieved, and she should be proud of, but she's trying to hide it because she doesn't want you to know the truth about her elite upbringing and her elite attitude.
You know, it just seems to me, look, when I was reading this and watching the movie, I mean, if I was a black American, I'd be very proud of my successes if I were in her position. But for her to create in her autobiography and in her appearances this fictitious, I suppose, this legend, this not who she really is. Obviously, to me, that's a problem. It's a big problem.
Well, she's following Barack's formula. I mean, Barack was a kid that went to an elite high school like she did. He went to Punahou in a private school in Hawaii. Yep. He went to Occidental and Columbia and Harvard. And Barack, to get black support, he had to claim falsely in his autobiography that he was someone who suffered racial discrimination in Hawaii, of all places, biracial kid in a minority dominant society, claimed that he suffered racial slights growing up. And it worked. You know, white people thought he was black, you know, and they loved it. They said, great, we'd like to have a black president. Black people at first didn't buy it. They said, wait a minute. This guy's an elitist. He's grew up with white grandparents. He's from Hawaii. He's not one of us. So Michelle, by kind of creating this whole background story of I suffered racial slight, she wants to get that block of support from black voters that she knows she has no connection with. She shares no experiences with black people. The only experiences she shares are getting beat up by them or exploiting them as a professional.
Folks, my guest is Joel Gilbert. The links to his website, sites plural, will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Also, we're on Rumble and Brighteon. Please do me a favor, subscribe, and then hit the like button or thumbs up or whatever it might be. But Joel Gilbert, to me, is perhaps the most well-versed expert on the Obamas, plural, whether it be... Dreams from My Real Father, oh, fantastic, or Michelle 2024, Michelle Obama 2024, let me get it right. He gets into everything. I've got to ask you a question. What was, because you addressed this in here, Barack, his early career as a politician, and then, his rise throughout the political ranks, there was some friction between him and Michelle, and Michelle played a role here, and that also affected their, how can I put this, family life. You know, people looking for something salacious. Well, yeah, it's in there.
But, yeah. So, well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I can talk about that. Look, Michelle was totally on board for Barack as a politician. Her father was a politician. She kind of married her father, married this guy, and he wanted to run for state senate in Chicago. She was totally on board with it. She was the treasurer for his campaign. She was out campaigning for him. So he was 6 years a state senator. And then Bobby Rush, the congressman, former Black Panther from Chicago, ran for mayor and had to drop out, didn't win. So Barack thought he was vulnerable, and Barack wanted to run for his congressional seat. And Michelle said, no, Barack, because Bobby Rush is beloved founder of the Black Panthers in Chicago, you'll never win. You can't run against an icon like that. And Barack, you know, was sick of being a state senator. He had big aspirations for Washington. So Barack insisted on running against Bobby Rush. And Michelle said, don't do it. She refused to participate in the campaign. Barack ended up blowing through a lot of their money and running up credit cards. It kind of came to a big, I chronicle this in the film, how it came to a head when he went to the convention in Los Angeles in 2000, the Democrat Party convention, and couldn't get in, but ran up a lot of money on their credit cards. So Michelle's mother had to take out a $50,000 home loan against her home to bail them out. So Michelle was very, very pissed that Barack went through this and blew all their money. So I do chronicle that. And you find out that the idea that now Michelle has talked about having IVF treatments to give birth to both of their daughters. And she goes into great detail in her book about the months of work and preparation and cooperation with Barack to have Malia. As regards Sasha's birth, she only says one line. She says, I did IVF again. Yep. And it worked. Now, it's a little suspicious because a couple things. Barack and her were not on speaking terms over that summer right before she got pregnant. So it's hard to believe that they were cooperating on an IVF process during that time. Barack was away a lot in Springfield with the state Senate and with campaigning. So it's easy to believe that maybe she got a little too comforted by their their friend Martin Nesbitt. So I do make the case, because Sasha looks nothing like the sister Malia. They don't look like even half sisters. And I raised that issue with Michelle's mother. You have to watch the film and hear what she said. It's pretty shocking. Man. She didn't throw me out of the house when I asked her that. And you can see what she said. And Sasha is the spitting image of Martin Nesbitt. So I go into that. So there's a lot of investigation on every part of Michelle's life that shows the story she's put together about who she is and where she's from is completely fictitious. And it can only be for one reason. It's because she plans to run for president. And you can see just the development since this book and film came out. I think the Democrat Party has set it up for Michelle. They eliminated Iowa as the first caucus state, where usually you have to go and campaign. You got to campaign in 100 counties. They eliminated that, and they moved the primary to South Carolina, which has two main features that support Michelle. Number one, half the Democrat Party electorate for the primaries are African-American. And number two, Michelle claimed already South Carolina as her adopted home state because her grandparents came from South Carolina and moved to Chicago. So Michelle used to go to South Carolina as a kid for family reunions. So that's like her adopted home state, where that's the first primary and she wins it running away and it's over. Now, next, where did they put the Democrat National Convention? A very strange place this year. Or next year, it's going to be in Chicago.
You know what? I wanted to ask you about that because why? I mean, that's her hometown. Why there?
Yeah, that sets it up perfectly as a homegirl, you know, convention. It's where they got the Obama Library. Michelle, you know, all her books and her talks about I'm from the South Side. It's that whole image of someone who overcame diversity or suffered from discrimination. And here I'm coming back to Chicago as the nominee, and I can't believe it. So I think the Democrat Party set it up for her. No one thinks Biden's going to be the nominee.
No.
I think the Democrats don't want him. And no one even thinks he'll live to finish a second term. So I think it's going to happen. Most of the Democrat primary deadlines to put in signatures to be on the ballot is December 23rd.
Okay.
Nevada has a deadline in October, but that's a small state. I think she would blow that off. I would look for Biden to drop out for some reason in November, and that's when we'll see Michelle reluctantly form a committee and decide to run for president.
I've got to tell you, I spent a lot of this weekend finishing your book, because I love to read, folks. You know that, everyone out there. And let me just ask everyone listening and watching this, do yourself a favor. Get a hold of this book as well as the DVD or the live streaming. The links will be at Hagman PI in the program description box, highwayint.com, Highway Entertainment. Look, the links will be there. I don't want to mess it up, but it's also on Amazon. And if you look at Salem Now store, there's the DVD there. Folks, watch the DVD, watch the live streaming or the DVD, as well as get the book, because there's information about Michelle Obama. If you thought Barack Obama was something that... you know, a little bit, there weren't things right there. Well, Michelle Obama, I've got to tell you, Joel Gilbert lays bare. I felt like I was doing the investigation with Joel Gilbert, the way he wrote this and the video. I thought I was like right there with him. And that's a compliment. As far as I'm concerned, that's a compliment to Joel's ability to really get the points across, get the information out, and to show you things. Okay, so what would a Michelle Obama presidency look like? I can see exactly how you've laid this out with all of the data points, her being the Democratic nominee. Okay, so let's say she wins. What do you see for the future of this country? How do you see that playing out?
Look, Michelle Obama would be very hard to beat for any Republican for several reasons. First of all, the fact that I think most Republicans, even Democrats, believe that this whole mail-in ballot regimen, as well as the voting machine regimen and the Democrat Party control of major voting districts in swing states, stacks the deck against any Republican presidential nominee. Now, the problem with Joe Biden for Democrats is if he runs and wins again, no one's going to believe it. If Kamala runs and wins, no one's going to believe it. If they say Biden's ahead in all the swing states and all the media polls, no one's going to believe it. So Michelle brings plausibility. If Michelle's ahead in the polls or she wins on election night, you'd say, well, I guess I believe that because she's so popular. You'd believe it. So I think she probably wins for many reasons, not the least of which is her huge positive media profile that she's built for 15 years. Now, as president, look, Michelle never really had any original ideas ever. She just mimics whatever's going on around her in the Democrat Party circles with a dose of Bernadine Dorn's kind of hateful anti-American worldview. So you can see Michelle would just pretty much continue everything you see under Biden, but with a much more powerful presence and ability to communicate to the country. So I would see her following along the same policies that, you know, Barack had, that Biden continued with, and, you know, being lockstep with some of these globalist leaders and Europeans and NATO and the whole thing. So I think we'll just see more of the same, but maybe even at a faster pace.
I totally agree with you on that. And I would also say that the divisiveness that would be a result of this would be just absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, that's just my opinion based on reasoned investigation myself.
Yeah, well, Michelle's position will be, I decided, she said it in the, when she introduced Joe Biden, I heard three sentences that I said, that's what she's going to say when she runs for president. She said, you know, I hate politics, but I love this nation and I love your children. She said that when she introduced Joe Biden. They said, that's exactly what she's going to say. Michelle loves politics. It's just that you remember in 2008, she was running around the country giving these massive crowds political speeches.
Yes.
And she said so many nasty things about the country. And she kind of went over the top and said, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country because Barack won a primary. Now, she said a lot worse things than that, but that's something that the media picked up on finally. And that's when the Obama campaign told her, they said, look, we can win except for you. People are going to hate you like they hate Hillary. We got to pull you back. So Michelle got a speechwriter, and she all of a sudden said, well, I just want to be the mom in chief and I hate politics, which is total nonsense. She was really the co-candidate. She would say things like, I have her on tape. It's in the movie. She says, Barack and I in our campaign, me and Barack, what we're going to do in the White House. She was the co-candidate like Hillary. And she took a step back because she realized she was turning people off. So she spent the last 15 years kind of on that level saying, well, you know, I just love everybody and I love the country. So I think that'll be her speech when she announces, you know, I hate politics, but I love this nation and I love your children. So I'm going to go ahead and run.
Yeah, but obviously she hates the flag. I remember the what was that? All of this for a flag or something like that. The camera caught, I think it was her mouthing that.
Well, they had a lip. They had a lip reader where they thought she said all this for a damn flag.
Yeah.
was on Flag Day. That's typical Bernadine Dorn. That
yep.
comes from Bernadine. Bernadine Dorn hates the flag, hates the country, the domestic terrorists. She was accused. Larry Grathwall, who I interviewed and knew very well, he was a informant, FBI informant in the Weather Underground, and he told me that her husband Bill Ayers told him that Bernadine assembled the bomb and placed the bomb that killed San Francisco Police Sergeant Brian McDonald. So, and Bill Ayers complained to him that they couldn't find enough people to commit terrorism and Bernadine had to do it herself. So this is the person that radicalized Michelle. Michelle had a, people don't know this, but Michelle was a community organizer for 3 years, just like Barack in Chicago. She had a group called Public Allies, was a community organizing organization that she ran and got paid very well. And what they did was they took people that were high school dropouts, prison inmates, ex-inmates, and people kind of down on their luck, and they would get them jobs to work for free in the bureaucracy of the city of Chicago. And then one day a week, they would indoctrinate them in socialist principles at the headquarters of Public Allies. Who did Michelle invite to be a lecturer at Public Allies? Her first lecturer was Bernadine Dorn.
Yes. So, I thought I knew a whole lot. Folks, I thought I knew a whole lot about the Obamas, including Michelle. But I've got to say, Joel Gilbert does a fantastic job of really taking apart the legend, the story of Michelle Obama. And it's going all the way back to her grandparents. It's a great investigative, but not a boring investigative read. Michelle Obama 2024, the book, as well as the DVD and the streaming, live streaming, live streaming. I've got to say that this is one of my new favorite books because it really gives a lot of information as to what Michelle Obama is, who she is, and of course, just what we can expect if, in fact, all of this comes to pass. And Mr. Gilbert is—he's pretty sure that this is gonna happen because I asked him, and he's pretty sure. But if not, you can thank that man because this lays bare all of her communist ties, her frailties, and her lies. The legend of her book, Becoming, the BS in the Light We Carry. That's her second book. It really lays bare all of the lies that were, or the things that we're told that we're supposed to believe. It tears those apart. And I want to thank you for really your research in this. We've got about 8 minutes left. Where do we go from here?
Well, look, the challenge for Republican candidates and for people like me or you that expose the left and their gods like Michelle and Barack is penetrating the public mind and getting across the reality of who these people are and what their agendas are. I did that a little bit with Dreams for My Real Father in 2012. And I think the public has moved a lot in terms of really understanding what's going on. When I came out with Dreams for My Real Father, people would say to me, "You mean Barack's father was Frank Marshall Davis, a communist party member, a Soviet agent who raised him?" They say, "Well, how could this be true if CNN hasn't covered this?" You know? And I would say, no, it's true. Within 2 years, people would say, "Well, oh, of course CNN would never cover this." You know, so especially with the years of Donald Trump, I think he's really exposed the media as what liars they are and how they do cover and shill for the Democrat Party and the Obamas. We found out the last couple of years that the FBI also covers for and shills for Obama and the Democrats. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the operation to put Joe Biden in the White House was probably started in 2019 by the FBI. And the operation continues today by covering up all the Biden family crimes, the bribery, and the persecution of Donald Trump. So the public has gotten a real education about what these forces are really up to. And it's up to your program and me to really disseminate this truth. And I think I do a good job exposing Michelle Obama's life story as someone who suffered discrimination and was a poor kid from the South Side. It's total lie, total nonsense. She's an elite kid from a political family, from a nice middle-class home, who went to Paris with her French club and danced her way through her youth and spent her professional career abusing the black community. And I think especially if black voters knew this, they would not be supporting her.
You know, one last question here. Michelle Obama, in the spring of this year, you have it down here, the Netflix special with Oprah on April 25th. Yeah. Okay. Eric the Tech and I spoke about this. Well, what's the significance of that Netflix special with Oprah on the 20th April of this past April?
Yeah, well, look, Michelle has had a deal with Netflix for her movie Becoming. I was actually at that event with Oprah. It was here in Los Angeles at the YouTube Theater. It was in December. They taped it and then released it as an event with Oprah at the end of April. They kind of didn't really say, oh, we taped this in December. They kind of made it feel like it was a brand new live thing. The significance is that Michelle is working the constituency of Oprah and the constituency of women, especially. Don't forget, it was Oprah that really introduced Barack Obama in 2008 to the country and to her audience of women.
Yeah.
And that's half the electorate, you know.
Yeah.
So Michelle has been seeking to get minorities and women, these two huge constituencies, in her pocket. So the interview with Oprah just solidifies the same thing that Barack did. You've got Oprah introducing you and asking you questions and fawning over you. It's the same thing that Barack did. So yeah. Michelle is not an original person. She just follows along. And I think the Netflix special was just part of shoring up that constituency of women voters.
Okay. And that makes sense to me, because that kind of stood out at the time. And even going into reading the book, it's kind of like a one-off. What's this all about? And the way you explain it, I think really, is a good piece of circumstantial evidence that we're going to see Michelle Obama, rise forth here in the 2024 elections. I believe you're onto something, more than onto something. I believe that you've got something by the tail here, and that something is, of course, Michelle Obama's.
Yeah, just like the Clintons never went away.
Yeah.
The Obamas are never going away, and Michelle is the next incarnation of the Obama dynasty, I believe.
Wow, and that's fantastic. Joel Gilbert, just an incredibly talented investigative journalist, a filmmaker, Hollywood film director. By the way, one of my favorites, the Trayvon hoax, Unmasking the Witness, Fraud That Divided America. And folks, you can go to his website there and download all or some of the the videos. I'm going to tell you right now, or purchase the DVDs, whatever, but I'll tell you something that's well worth it, because he leaves no stone unturned. And this is Joel Gilbert, his latest Michelle Obama 2024. I like to say your worst nightmares come true, but not if we can help it. And that's Joel Gilbert. Joel, thank you so very much for being part of the show. I really appreciate you.
Okay, thanks. I enjoyed the show, and hope all your listeners will get the DVD or the book, salemnow.com or amazon.com.
All right. There you go. The links will be in the program description box, folks, at hagmanpi.com. I'm telling you, I'm not BSing anyone on here. When I read this book, I learned things I had no clue. I thought I knew Michelle Obama. And you can get a taste of it, too. If you go to American Thinker, his latest article about Michelle Obama, about her Princeton University adventures there. Very interesting. And the template is the same. And you know, about the my joking around calling Michelle Michael, as many others do. And you know, saying, I just want to believe. Look, there are worse things, believe me, than that. And some of the worst things about Michelle Obama are contained in this book. When I say worst things, true things that would have a greater impact on your life and mine than something like that. And that's Michelle Obama 2024, Joel Gilbert, an amazing and absolutely amazing to me investigative reporter. Maybe he doesn't want to identify as that or be called an investigative reporter, but certainly a great investigator digging down deep into the roots of Michelle Obama. Folks, I want to thank you so very much for hanging with me. Thank you so much for your belief and your support in this platform. I ask that you bookmark HagmanPI.com. Also subscribe to Rumble, Brighty on, The Hagman Report on both platforms, and give us a like, a thumbs up. It does affect impact positively, increase our algorithm, and we appreciate that. And also make sure, if you haven't done so already, make sure you go back to last Friday. Watch the program, the extended program with Afia. And wow, that was, I'm still getting emails about that. And we're still working on that case with shatterops.org. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And thank Mr. Joel Gilbert. Make sure you get a hold of the book, DVD, live stream, whatever, or all of them. Have a good day.